So this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
We did it.
We did it. Welcome to Feature Creep, colon.
Built-in microwave, semicolon.
A gem for the people.
A little gem for the people.
Yeah. These are...
Number two, I guess.
Number two, yeah. We're going to use these to backfill our catalog so we get all of our release dates filled in as we planned. Yeah. Plus, we've got future episodes coming out. Yeah, let's see. So what day is it actually when we're recording this? It's February 28th. It's the last day of a normal February, but it's not the last day of this February.
Right.
Oh, no, it's the 23rd. I lied. It's not the
23rd. It's the 23rd.
Liar.
Such a liar.
Just lies all the way down.
And who knows when you're actually listening to this, whatever day it is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, who knows? It's going to be after February 23rd, 2024. And anyway, welcome to our podcast. I'm Ned.
This is it.
This is Meg.
This is Meg.
And we talk about shit. You know, I was looking, speaking of our podcast,
yes.
I was reminded that people can email Dana. So Dana is the CEO and founder of this podcast. Basically, it's all her fault. You can complain to her at dana@fcbm.io. You can also do other things. You can go to our website, fcbm.io, and there you can find the same email address or our individual email addresses. And that's pretty much it. We don't really do social media. We kind of started a little bit, and then it was like, this is not worth it. You know, we were making so much money on the podcast directly.
And our intentionally unmonetized podcast.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's technically monetized. We have a book that you can buy, but it's real fucking hard to find because it's not on our podcast website. That's something we should fix.
Should we?
I don't know. I think
probably
when I come visit you this summer, that'll be a thing we can do.
I'm going to start making a list on the whiteboard in the living room so that when you get here, it's all right there.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
It's going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing. I was thinking about the topic for this podcast could actually be this movie that I learned about a long time ago called The Cure for Insomnia. And
yes, tell me about it.
I'll send you a link to the Wikipedia article.
Yes. Oh, yes, you did. You gave it to me already.
I did, but I'll just send it to you again. God, years ago,
there it is.
I'd heard about this movie, The Cure for Insomnia. I feel like I was in college or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Cure for Insomnia is a 1987 experimental film. So this is from the wiki entry called The Cure for Insomnia as of today, which is February 23rd, 2024. The Cure for Insomnia is this experimental film in 1987 directed by John Henry Timmis IV. Which, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the longest running film. At 5,220 minutes long, 87 hours or 3 days and 15 hours in length, the film has no plot. Instead, consisted of artist L.D. Groban reading his 4,080-page poem, A Cure for Insomnia, over the course of 3.5 days.
Oh, my God.
Spliced with occasional clips from heavy metal and pornographic videos.
What else do you need?
Yeah, it was first played in its entirety at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, Illinois, from January 31st to February 3rd in 1987 in one continuous showing. It has not been released on DVD or other home video formats, and all known copies are considered to be lost. So,
how bizarre.
Right? So, I think what got me thinking about this recently is that you had mentioned in the chat that Mark Maron's What the Fuck podcast, sorry, WTF podcast, had some insane number of episodes, like 1,400.
Yes, over 1,400.
Yeah. as of this time, right? I mean, he's still going strong and fantastic. I love his podcast. It's great.
Yeah.
But we had
it started in like 2009, so it's been going for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Which basically means he's averaging like what, like 100 episodes a year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something. That's pretty good. I mean, that's one every few days.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I mean, if he had Colors of the Day, I think he would obviously
really reach new heights. Yeah, he would. Yeah, I mean, that's where we got the edge.
Because we're going to catch up to him someday after he's dead.
Right, right. That's kind of the goal, right? So we're...
And then once we achieve the same number of podcasts, I think it's going to be really hard to discern who has the better podcast, because it's a quantitative thing and not a qualitative thing, of course.
Right. But, well, you can't really measure quality, right? You can only measure quantitative values in an objective way. So that's...
But I mean, we have twice as many Colors of the Day as his podcast.
That's
has.
True. So already, quantitatively speaking, we have an edge.
Right. I mean, honestly, I think so.
So that's
coming for you, Marin.
So what got me thinking about it, though, was why I thought of The Cure for Insomnia is I was just thinking about like just absurd amounts of length, right, in content. And, you know, like we could do an episode where it's just like absurdly long. It just a really like 24 hours of audio or some shit like that. I mean, the thing that I think about there is that one has to be, for 24 hours, has to be radio present, right? Or like publicly present.
Yes.
And that is the, you know, like tricky. In our, when we record episodes, like I don't think about it too much. I think occasionally I'm kind of like, well, I can't talk about somebody else by name. I shouldn't talk about other people by name.
Right.
Things like that. I try not to, especially, you know, public figures aside, but like individuals in our lives, like calling them out by name is not, you know, necessarily like something they can agree to. And so I try not to do that. Anyway, I just was thinking of this.
You fucking know who you are.
You know who you are. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, I just thought of this, this like art project that this person did. And it's funny because it's like, it's just someone reading their 4,080 page poem called A Cure for Insomnia. And then turning it into a film. But then like the funny thing is like it's just like also clips from heavy metal and porn, you know, just to pad it out a little bit.
I mean, it's kind of I'm having one of those moments where I'm like, is this art really? I don't know. Maybe it is. And then I think about like John Waters saying that the guy walked up to him at a modern art show.
Oh, I love that. Like, yes.
This is crazy. My kindergartner could have done this. And John Waters was like, well, he should have, stupid.
Right. Yes.
So I guess I've come full circle. It's art. It's fine.
Right. Right. I mean, it's like, it's, yeah, the nature of art, right? Like, that's a fantastic thing that is really kind of the loosely the focus of this podcast in the first place, right?
Right.
It's like, you know, and I think I do find it funny that from a podcast category where we are under the heading of art, but art design is our particular, or that art and design like go together. And that's true.
Right.
But I would argue that like there's that disparity between them, right? Where it's like, art is not necessarily design. Like it's not, you know, design betrays this idea of focused purpose.
Purposeful,
Or I guess I want to say like constraints.
Yes. Okay. Yes. There's usually constraints and you're usually, I mean, if you're a good designer, I think you're designing for something.
Right.
Like what's the reason? There doesn't have to be a reason with art because it's about self-expression, whereas design seems like purpose driven.
Yeah, like I think I can easily imagine being critical of design. I think being critical of art has a different meaning in and of itself. I can critique art, but it has no meaning. Like, so what? Fuck you. I don't have
yeah,
to,
it's
you know,
kind of
like,
irrelevant.
Yeah, like, whereas, like, critiquing design has some weight because it's like, well, how does this fit into, there's a way to box it in a place and be like, you know, here it has this, you know, this thing that it's trying to achieve. So, anyway.
You know,
yeah.
Speaking on art, right now, the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, which is a really cool art museum, but maybe not that cool, because since the new director came on board a few years ago, they like fired a bunch of people who were involved in like diversity, equity, inclusion, and like all those sorts of social justice issue type roles within the museum. And the museum, any art museum up to this point, if it's has been a museum for any length of time, I guarantee you has some kind of like upsetting relationship with Native art or art made by people who are not white or art made by women. So like, I mean, no museum is immune to it, but or immune from it, because they're all assholes and they take art way too seriously. But anyway, there's this big shakeup at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts right now because a bunch of people have left and or been fired, which they're claiming they were fired for cause, but the people who were fired are like, that's bullshit. And like, it was, I can't remember what the numbers were, but it was crazy how many people have left in the last 5 years, and all of them had some like some sort of a role with the museum that became contentious on the basis of like DEI stuff. So anyway, obviously I'm on the side of the people who left.
Sure.
Because
yeah.
They couldn't stand an intolerable situation anymore. But like, also, I don't, you know, it's kind of funny because I have memberships to stuff all over town.
You mean DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Yeah.
Right.
And I have like memberships to stuff all over town, but like I have never had a membership with the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, and a friend of mine who's an artist got a job there and like left and was like, nope.
Interesting.
And that stuck with me. And so I was like, I don't know, of all of the institutions in town I could give my money to, maybe there's like the list just got a little bit longer and the Mia's at the bottom. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
That's weird.
That is weird. I mean, all of that stuff is dumb and complicated at the same time. Like, it's like most of these things, it's like anytime things butt up against like an economic, or really against capitalism in particular, but like most anytime there's like a resource management aspect to it, it becomes this issue of like who gets it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
And then there's just inequality. Like, it's just fucking, it's funny too, because like you can always tell people who work for a company that's like doing really well, because they're just like, it's amazing. It's like, right, because they can afford to not make you feel like you have inequality, or they're just like really fucking good at it. Like, you know, there's that balance, right, between like the HR, which is really just like an internal PR system, versus like, you know, like who gets what out of the basket of collected goods that the company is collecting, right? And it's just like, and then you have these like art institutes and shit like that, and they're all just fucking doing the same thing just around
art.
And it's, yeah.
I know. It's fucking bullshit.
It is fucking bullshit, man. It's all fucking bullshit.
There's another museum in town called the Walker, and they take themselves way less seriously. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know about that, but their art collection is like not classical in the sense that it's like a bunch of hoarded goods from other people's countries on display permanently. Like, the Walker is real weird. Like, they do lots of avant-garde art, and they're fun. And I haven't heard anything terrible about them recently.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's something.
What shit have I heard about the arts in Minneapolis?
You know what would be fun is to get like a, I wonder if we could, I think I know some people who do, I do know somebody. I know somebody who is a curator for a museum, I think, in Dusseldorf.
Oh.
It would be fun to like interview them in a podcast.
Yeah. Be like, what is this bullshit anyway?
Yeah. Like, or more just like, you know, cause like it's, you know, it's tough, right? Because like we all need jobs at the, you know, in the current climate or in the way we live now, like most of us, I'm betting, need to be employed somehow. We need to find ways of earning income so we can like make our way in the world. And
right,
you know, fantastic if you get to do that. But like a museum, right? It's like the curator is like the artist of the museum. Like they're the one, mm-hmm. they're kind of the gatekeeper of like what gets displayed and shit.
They're
kind of
like a collage artist.
Yeah, a little bit, right? I don't know. It's interesting. Like I just yeah. would be curious like what their thoughts are on that. And
mm-hmm. I would like to talk to them. That would be fun.
I do like arts, like especially public art spaces. I think they're pretty fun to see. And I think I don't know. I'm just like already like reminiscing on all these like various like art projects that I've seen or done or participated in, and like kind of daydream a little bit, to be honest. I've been thinking about actually trying to do like a show in the back in my garage.
Yes.
Yeah, just like a photography show, or like I don't know, just some fucking cool. like pop up, like come by and see a bunch of shit. But
that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
What made you think of The Cure for Insomnia, by the way?
You talking about the longest running podcast, and then I was just thinking about long running shit, like there was like a, I think there was a, when I googled like longest running podcast, there was also like the longest podcast, but it's not notable, so I'm not gonna really try to remember all the names, like the name of it, but I think it was like, it was maybe in Germany or something, like some it was a live broadcast actually, and really all they did was just like stream it for like 74 hours or something, or 78 hours or something like that. And it wasn't like one person. It was just like, they just had a bunch of people back to back or something. And I was like, that doesn't really, I mean, that's like saying like this radio station's been on, you know, on the air for 43 years or some shit. Like,
yeah,
impressive and cool, but that's right. not really like what I'm thinking of when I think of like this sort of like long running, like continuous, which also when you look at the Cure for Insomnia, the movie, I imagine in 1987, like it was a technical feat, if nothing else, because one presumes that there, whatever media it was on, like someone had to sit there and swap it out. Like there's no media that I can think of from 1987 that could have been a continuously running video media.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
oh God, what a pain in the ass. I bet it was done on VCR.
Well, I have to imagine it was. I think, you know, like
VHS tape,
the cost of film for that would have been like impossible. Also to transfer porn to film. I mean, if you were at the university, you could have, they probably had equipment where they could kind of go back and forth from like VHS to like film, if maybe, but like film is expensive, even, and back then it was expensive. Like it's, you know, it's an expensive medium, relatively speaking. And, so I just think it was like, it's impressive, but also it's funny to me because it's like, it's also just like this guy, John Henry Timmis,
the fourth,
was like, how about we just make something really fucking long? And then it's like, I don't know, I'll just film this guy who's got this book called The Cure for Insomnia that he wrote, or this poem that's like absurdly long. I'm just going to have him read it. And then
it reminds me of like, how long would it take us to read The Infinite Jest?
Well,
it would take so long to read it out loud.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there an audiobook of that already? How long is the audiobook?
I don't know. Let's find out. I'm looking it up now. Running time. 56 hours and 12 minutes.
56 hours.
Yeah, so like that's... And, you know, the Infinite Jest is... Infinite Jest, let's see. Page count... Oops. 1,000 pages. So it's a fourth the length of his poem.
Yeah.
Well, in page count, we don't know word count. Like,
right, we don't know word count because you can put just a single word on a page in a book about poetry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I kind of imagine that this person wrote this poem on like a notepad, And it was just like this just stack, right? Of just this like meandering, rambling poem. And the idea was like, it's the cure for insomnia, because the guy's like, I'm going to just start writing every time I can't sleep. I'm just going to write as fast as I can. Stream of consciousness poem style. I mean, what kind of, like, it doesn't talk about like any structure to the poem, so we don't know. But anyway, I mean, my point being is, like, for sure the most notable thing about this work is the length of it, and that in and of itself, especially for the time, is like pretty impressive. Like, these days one could have digital media that is a continuous stream of 100 hours, no problem.
No problem, easy. I mean, some people just have that going on, like people who, like, you can subscribe to them and just watch them doing their day.
Exactly. Yeah,
which is weird and amazing.
Anyway, I just was thinking about you know, that's why I thought, like, that the longest podcast episode just seemed kind of like, I don't know about that. Like, it's,
you know,
one could argue that audiobooks are basically in the same format, like calling it a, like, it's not calling it a podcast. Like, I'm always a little reluctant. Like, our podcast is like, the whole nature of a podcast is an interesting conundrum, because we're releasing, like, at the end of the day, we record an audio file and then someone chooses to download it and listen to it at their leisure, which is fantastic. It's not that appointment style television or media consumption. Yeah. You choose when you want to have it, which is fantastic. But the idea of this, like, episodic, you know, like, how are we any different from a book? And in many ways, one could argue that, like, a well-considered book that's well-read is, like, you know, as one of our friends is... recently sheepishly admitted to, but we were like not at all upset about, what did they say? They said, I don't think your podcast is, I think I'm more interested in more highly
produced. They're
standing
in my kitchen right now.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes. I, no offense, but I prefer more highly
yes, exactly,
highly produced.
Definitely no offense taken.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
So funny. Yeah. I think more of on the, like, Ira Glass.
Yeah. Things. Sure. Yeah. Radio Lab. Like, yeah, these very, like, well edited, highly considered, directed, you know, like, producers who are, you know, being critical of, like, what's being said and how.
Yeah.
It's
like, people who used to have a job in radio, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very charming.
Yeah,
it was cute because they just walked in to say hi, and they also did this, like, weird zombie thing when they came in, which is what I, like, spontaneously laughed at earlier, apropos of nothing.
That's great.
I might publish something, which is cool, which is unrelated to this podcast, because one of my professors wants me to edit a thing that I wrote for my memoir class and possibly get it published, which would be very cool. So I'm going to talk to him about that.
Hang on a second. How is that how is that unrelated to this podcast?
Oh,
right, because it doesn't fit into our strict structured content rules.
Structure and continuity and
style
guide.
You're right. No, my apologies.
Style guide.
Yeah, the style guide.
Yeah, it's a story about me having shingles a million times. Woo!
Woo. Yes. Yeah. So it's, I mean, I think we've recorded, we were doing the podcast when you were getting some shingle attacks.
Yes. Well, so, like, so 2015 was the first one, during which time we didn't know each other.
Right.
2021 was the second time that I got it, and we were recording often with Lauren at the time.
Yes.
2022, I also got it, and I don't think by that time we were recording with Lauren, but we were still recording podcasts on the regular. And this is when I was convinced that my insides were falling out of me, but they weren't. I just had shingles on the inside. And so it felt like they were falling out of me, but they weren't falling out of me. But anyway, I followed the wrong path on that one and went to all the wrong doctors, not realizing what was going on. And anyway, that was a thing I'm sure I mentioned, because I was complaining bitterly about how my asshole was falling out of my body that whole time. And that must have made it onto at least several podcasts. it was shingles, turns out. And that was in 2022. And then this last fall in 2023, I also had it again. But this time I was highly educated on the subject, significantly more than doctors are, and I managed it at home with the use of pharmaceuticals, but the more important than the pharmaceuticals even was the use of like a whole apothecary full of plant medicine that prevented me from having all the nerve damage and didn't get to the point of it turning into encephalitis again, which is great because I never want to have encephalitis again ever. So yeah, a lot of times that we've been podcasting, I've had shingles. Yep. Like, it's crazy. The number of people who get recurrent infections is between like 1% and 5%, and that's one recurrence.
Right, right.
Three recurrences. So I've had shingles again now. I don't think like my statistical score is way fucking off the thing. Like way at the tiny, tiny end, the pointy end. There is someone out there, I don't know who they are, who is in the medical literature as having had it 10 times. So I'm like thinking, I'm emotionally prepared for that to be like the record that I break as the weirdo who has it like 12 or something. But
right.
In several years, they're coming out with an mRNA vaccine for it, which will have a radically different treatment protocol for the disease than a normal vaccine would. Like the idea is eradication rather than prevention.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So I'm excited and hopeful that in the next 5 years or so, I should be able to get my hands on that. So like I've had it 4 times. If I get it once a year for the next 5 years, I might make it to 9 before that vaccine's ready. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just taking a guess here. It's going to be like,
did you
5 to 7 years?
You had it last year, right?
In the fall, every time I've had it in the same, it like kicked up during the same 2-week time frame in November. So I usually have it at Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yay.
Yeah. I haven't done like any holidays for years now because I'm like, sorry, can't leave my house.
Right. Right.
Or wear pants or wear a shirt, pants, depending right, on yes. what's happening. So ridiculous. Yeah. So I might publish some stuff about that. I don't know.
Oh, that sounds cool though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you say publish, you mean like in a book form or?
Like in a journal.
Oh, in a journal. Gotcha.
In an academic journal.
Okay. Gotcha.
The person who is teaching me about memoir writing said that there are a lot of different medical journals that publish the experiences of patients. Oh,
that's pretty cool.
So it would be very hilarious if I got published in a medical journal, even though I short-circuited my bioethics degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, turns out you losers, I don't even have to get a degree to get into a journal.
Right.
because I actually go to a school now where they give a shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. That would be super fun.
Well, what's your time like? Do we have more time to rattle on or should we go right into
we better do those colors of the day because they're important.
They are important. Yes.
Yes. And I like this blue is my favorite blue that has ever come up in the colors of the day so far in all of the years of us doing colors of the day.
It's pretty great. Yeah.
It's got a fantastic name, too. Like, I was so taken by the color that I hadn't even read the name until just right now.
It's so good. It's so good.
This
is your first podcast, we don't always, but we try to have colors of the day. We've got a fantastic research team. We always do 2 colors of the day because having a single color of anything is might as well be monochromatic, right? Like there's no,
right.
Might as well
there's
just
no context.
Be gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's not necessarily a dig, but it's totally a dig against a certain corporation that continues to pretend like they know what they're doing,
right.
When it comes to art and design. So here we are doing colors, 2 colors of the day. These colors the are going to change your life for the whole day. If you're listening to this, these should be your colors for today. Here we go.
We've got a beautiful blue color that's like if the color periwinkle took a bunch of acid.
Yes.
It's called inebriated deviation, which is like just so fantastic. Spot on.
Yeah.
The RGB values are 57, 124, 248, heavy on the blue. And the hexadecimal code for this color is hashtag 397 Charlie Foxtrot 8. So 397CF8. And you can type that hashtag 397CF8 into Google and it will come up with this color that we're looking at. So you can see it too.
Yeah. And
it's partnered with, oh man, something that looks like hot chocolate.
Yes. Yeah. So the partner or the paired color for today is Monatomic Qualm.
Mm, so good.
And the RGB values for this are 77, 37, 4. And
amazing.
The hexadecimal value, which again, if you type this straight into Google, you're just going to type pound sign or hashtag 4Delta2504. Once again, that's hashtag 4D2504. Then you can pull up this color. This is like, it's a rich brown, right?
Yeah. It's like, it's very foody.
It's very foody. It's very saturated.
Mm-hmm.
I find it a really good, like, that blue, and that this is one of my favorite pairings for sure.
Me too. It looks kind of like there's this place in town called Chocolat Celeste, and she does all of these like super fancy truffles and stuff, and this looks like a color combination that she would use on her truffles.
Oh yeah, it's really, I mean, if you had this brown background, that blue would just explode off of it.
Yeah.
It does explode off of it. I'm looking at
it
right now.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
I love it.
Yeah.
I could stare at this all day. I might actually just like take a screenshot of it and turn it into the background on my computer desktop.
Nice. Nice.
Ah, oh, so good.
Yeah.
It's like, I think this is my favorite one so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Ah, oh, love it.
Really up there.
Well, look at that. We did a little gem for the people.
Yeah, we did a gem for the people. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Once again,
thanks, everyone.
We'd love to hear from you. You can email Dana, D-A-N-A, at fcbm.io.
And tell her all about it.
Yes. Also, we do have a book. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, it'll be on our website. It's a delightful little art project that Meg and I did together. For sure, that's the only way you can financially support this podcast at this time.
Yeah. Buy our book.
Also, I think I've mentioned before, and I'll mention it again. If you look up the book and you're like, I don't know, man, that's just too much money, because I think we have it at like $19.99 is the retail value or the retail price. Like, we can get it to you for cheaper. You can email us. We can either sell you a cheaper copy, or we can just send you a copy depending on how many people ask for them.
We could spill some coffee on it. Whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, reach out. Don't let that be a hurdle for you if you really want to see it, but you're just like, you know, don't have the cash for it. Like, it's, yeah, that's not the point of this podcast. The point of this podcast is not to, you know, I mean, obviously it'd be amazing if we were just suddenly inundated with book purchases and financial gain, but that's not.
Right, but we'd lose our purity.
We would lose our purity, our objectivity. Yeah. They really sold out after their books just sold a lot. Can you imagine like the book just doing so well? We're like on a book tour over that book.
It would be like the shortest. I mean, like, we would show up at each of these locations on the book tour stop, right? Like a book tour stop. And then we'd be like, so it's only a few pages long and the words are real short.
I kind of want to do like pop-up book tour, like when we get together next.
Yes.
And take, I mean, I've got like a box of like maybe 15 or 20 copies, and we could order another box when I come, and we could just like one day like just go somewhere in a public space with a table and two chairs and a sign.
Yep.
And just pop-up book tour, and then like sign books and give them away.
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to write this on the whiteboard that I mentioned earlier.
And we'll bring the podcast equipment and we'll podcast while we do it.
Genius.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
We're doing
it's going on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
We're doing it. Once it's on the whiteboard, you have to do it or you can't erase it.
It's like set in stone. It's great. All right. Well, that was the bonus extra after content, after the words of the day, or colors of the day.
Okay. Great job, everyone.
Okay.